Bill Pronzini and read by Nick Sullivan.
Author's note. This novel was conceived prior to the abrupt passage of a 2006 federal law that severely restricts and criminalizes the funding of internet gambling. The reader, therefore, should keep in mind that the events depicted herein took place before the enactment of that law, when online bettors were permitted to wager as much and as often as they liked and could finance their bets with credit cards, electronic fund transfers, and personal checks. Chapter 1. It took us a week to find Janice Krocek. The little piece of irony in that was the entire time she was living in an apartment hotel less than 15 blocks from our South Park offices. Not that we could have had any idea of her whereabouts at the start, aside from the fact that her husband believed she was somewhere in San Francisco. It was the fourth time in 4 years that she'd disappeared from their Oakland Hills home. The other times, the city was where she'd gone. The longest she'd stayed away was 6 days, and she'd always returned home voluntarily. This time, she'd been missing 12 days before Mitchell Krocek filed a missing persons report, and 3 weeks before he decided to hire private investigators. It wasn't that he was unconcerned, he said. It was just that he'd been through it all so many times, and his financial situation was shaky, thanks to his wife and her compulsion. Jake Runyon was the one who finally located her. Bloodhound Jake. In the days when I ran a one-man agency, I was a pretty good field man. Tenacious, the way you have to be in order to pay the bills. Runyon was something else again. His instincts were sharper, his tenacity greater than those of any investigator I'd ever known, public or private. I was in the office when he called in. Early afternoon on a slow November Tuesday, Tamara and I and our new hire, Alex Chavez, all doing routine work. Janice Krocek was at the Hillman on Leavenworth just off Jones, staying with a waitress named Ginger Ben, who'd been picked up once on a prostitution rap, the call girl variety. Working as a call girl herself, possibly, although Runyon couldn't verify it. She was in the apartment now, he said. Did I want him to brace her? I thought about it. No, I said. Tamara and I will handle it. You've got other work to move on. Where are you now?
Hillman's lobby.
We'll be there in 15 minutes. Tamara had been listening through the open connecting door between our offices. When I hung up, she said,
You and Tamara will do what?
Go talk to Janice Krocek. Jake just found her.
Where?
I repeated what Runyon had told me.
Call girl? Terrific. Her husband'll be real pleased.
He doesn't necessarily have to know that part of it. Depends on what she says and what she decides to do. Tamara sighed.
Both of us, huh?
Unless you want to talk to her alone.
No way. I was thinking maybe you don't need me.
Better if there's another woman present. Easier on everybody.
Says you,
says the voice of experience. The thing about a case like this one, where an adult subject has disappeared voluntarily, is that a private investigative agency is ethically obligated to consult with the subject before reporting his or her whereabouts to the client. Did Janice Krocek want her husband to know where she was, want him to come to her, want us to take her to him? The decision was entirely hers. If we reported to the husband first, without consulting with her, we'd be wide open to a harassment lawsuit. I'd informed Mitchell Krocek of this before we accepted the case. It hadn't changed his mind. His main interest right now, he said, was in knowing that she was safe. So we'd written a clause into the agency contract, and he'd signed it. And now here we were at crunch time. I was not looking forward to it any more than Tamara was.